What do you need to know when you don't even know that? Why should I gain from his reward? What do I have that deserves such love? Nothing, except that I am his beloved creation. He loves me. He loves you. And what do I need to know? That. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 we'll be starting with. Open up your faith journals if you have them with you. 1 John, that's almost to the end of the New Testament if you're learning your way around the Bible, which is a good thing. Get to know your way around His Word. Yeah, we're talking about those times when you just, because of something that we just realized, something somebody said or did, something we learned about life or an experience that we're going through. Now you've seen this, you've experienced it, and now you're like, you're just so shell-shocked that you don't even know what to do with it. And we all run into those times of moments. This thought for this message came to me as I was having one of those, came out of my mouth, I was driving, I'm like, I don't even know what to do with this. And I was like, you know, there are times we run into those moments. And what do we do then? What do we do? Sometimes the moments are just kind of those eye roll moments where somebody does or says something and you just kind of roll your eyes. It's like, I don't even know what to do with that. You know, have you seen those, had those before? Somebody's, you're just like, really? Really? And you just kind of know what you need to know about God and just let it roll off and keep your sense of humor sometimes if it's just something dumb or whatever. Sometimes you have to say, it's those more serious, I don't even know what to do with this moments where you have to just say, stop, stand on what you know, and be able to persevere through it. So sometimes those are our reactions that we have to have in those I don't even know moments. Other times we have to, we see it, we're in the midst of it, and we have to stand on what we know and fight back. We have to react or respond to it. It demands a response from us. We can't just persevere. We have to do something about it. So there's lots of different I don't know, I don't even know moments out there, isn't there? One of those times, I love sharing good news. I don't know how many people saw the article that came out about what was formerly John John's topless place right down here on the corner of Martin. Guess what it's going to be now? A Dairy Queen. How cool is that? What would you rather have, a Dairy Queen or a strip club on the corner of your neighborhood? Well, you know what? A couple years ago, a bunch of the churches got together and went to a city council meeting and said, we don't want this on the other side of the fence from our children. We don't. And a lot of people made themselves heard that night. And the mayor stood firm, the city council stood firm, and praise the Lord, now you're getting a Dairy Queen. So how awesome is that? Sometimes we get more than we even ask for. I just wanted some, you know, I'd take it a store, or I don't care. For a long time, I got to be honest, I would drive past that, and I would pray every time I drove past, and every time I saw something else fall off of it, because it was, you know, you've seen it's kind of been falling apart a little bit at a time. I've just been like going, yes, yes, there goes another piece, down, yeah. Maybe that wasn't the right attitude, but then as time went on, I started praying, you know what, Lord, maybe repurpose that building, make it something good. So I started praying for that. Well, that's the one God answered. He didn't let the building fall down too bad, and now it's going to be torn down, and it's going to be something altogether different. So praise the Lord. That's what happens. Sometimes we say, I don't even know what to do with a strip joint right at the corner of our neighborhood. Well, sometimes we have to stand on what we know and fight back and God answers. So we're having you guys think about something that to decide upon today, to respond to today. And that is when those moments, those I don't even know moments hit. Do you know him so well that you're able to say, look, I don't even know, but actually I do know what I know. And that is that God is good, God is powerful, and a number of the promises we're going to go through. Do you know that today? Do you know that today? Let's stand together as we read our verse that we'll be studying in 1 John. Ready? Let's read together. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for this truth that we might know. Thank you for being a God that we might personally know. Speak, Holy Spirit, to us. I pray that you do a work in my heart and in each of our hearts today that we might know you better today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So there's a lot of knowing that was in that verse, wasn't there? We read the word know quite a bit. But there's a difference between knowing and knowing, isn't there? How many people know there's a difference between knowing and knowing? I'm like, what? You know that? Yeah. Well, there's actually two different words of knowing in this verse. It said no about 4 or 5 times, but in the Greek, there's actually two different words that was used there. Our piddly English language struggles to translate sometimes the depth of the Greek and the Hebrew. There was the, you ever say, you talk about something like, oh, I'm talking about this and this, you know what I'm saying? And what does the other person say? Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah. How often are they just saying, oh, yeah, I know what you're saying, and they really don't. Really, no. They're just saying that, right? Well, that's the difference between these two words. It's, I know, I get it, but I don't really know it like you know it. The beginning, it says, you know, a number of things. I know this, and I know we know that. That's the word I do in Greek. And it's the kind of word that was that, oh, yeah, I know. It's the I know. I've got a knowledge of that. I understand. I see what you mean. It's just a, yep, I get it, kind of an understanding. That's the kind of I know that I know. So when you, we'll just say I do. Yeah, oh yeah, I do. I got it. It's that kind of a knowledge. It's just a head knowledge. The other word, and that is, say about verse 20 in your Bibles, it says, we know, that's the I do, we know, yeah, I got it, that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may, and this is the other word, know, that is gnosko, that is more of a personal knowledge, it is an experiential knowledge, it is a knowledge that I have learned, I have understood and realized from a personal interaction or a personal experience. It's a deeper knowing. It's a deeper knowing. So, how many people watched the Tiger game yesterday? One. Oh, two. Oh, man. Where are all the Tiger fans? Well, the Tigers won yesterday. Woo! It's a good game, actually. Well, they had the guy. How many people know who Justin Wilson is? Yeah, he's a relief pitcher. He did a really good job. I think he only let up one hit in a couple, 2-3 innings. Did a good job. So if I was to say, hey, you know Justin Wilson? And the ones that know who he is would say, oh yeah, I know him. And I said, well, I know him because he's my friend and I see him all the time. That's the difference between these words. You might say, oh, you know, I saw you raise your hand, Paul. You know Justin Wilson? You'd say, oh yeah, I know him because, you know, he's a player. We just hope we don't trade him, right? You say, oh yeah, I know him because you've seen him on the Tigers. But I said, oh yeah, but he's my friend. I know him, and I see him all the time. That's the difference between the two knowing here. Jesus said, or the word says, we are in him. Oh, he has given us understanding so that we may gnosko, know him personally, as opposed to just knowing about the Son of God. We are given an understanding that we might know him personally. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That was Jesus' words. He said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, but from now on you do know him and have seen him. Why do they know the Father who they knew about? Why do they know him personally now? Because they know Jesus, who they had seen. That's the kind of knowing that we're to have here. Not just a knowledge about him, but a knowledge of him, a personal experience. Not just who he, not just his name and a little bit of information about him, but who he is because of my experience with him. What he's like because of the time that we've spent together. What he does, what will he do just because of his nature and who I know him to be? What are the promises that he has promised to us? What are the plans that he has for our lives? Those are the types of things that you learn when you know, as opposed to just know. That know as opposed to a know. And this is what is going to matter when you hit those I don't even know moments. When you have those, just, you know, my head is going to explode from what's going on here. I can stop and say, but I do gnosko. I do know my Father God. I know who he is, and I know what he does and what he's going to do. Our world is full of I don't even know moments. It's full of them. What do you need to know? Know. Not just know about, but know. There's some promises for you. Our verse started off with, go to the next one. Anyone born of God does not continue to sin. You know what? That's good news, isn't it? You know why? Because sin stinks. Sin's bad. It's hurtful. It ruins people. It ruins relationships. It separates us from God. Sin is a bad thing. It brings death, eternal death. Eternal separation from God. It's a bad thing. And for us not to continue to sin, that's awesome. And this verse says, anyone born of God does not continue to sin. I think of this other verse. Great promise that talked about a lot in our foundations classes that we've done in the past. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. Temptations that you experience are the temptations that other people have experienced. We all experience the similar temptations in one way or another. And God is faithful. What do you need to know in those? I don't even know because this temptation has come and I'm overwhelmed and I don't even know what to do with it. You stop. And you say, God is faithful. this is what I need to know in this I don't even know moment. God is faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you're tempted, and you will be tempted, we all are, He'll provide a way out, a way of escape, so that you can endure it. Not necessarily escape from it, get out of it, endure it. There's always a way of escape. That's a promise. What do I need to know when I'm like, oh man, this thing has just come up in my face and I know it's not something that's good for me, but I'm so tempted by it. There's a door right there. God, you're giving me a way of escape. Help me. And He's going to be faithful, Scripture says, to do that. That's a promise. All the trappings and the terrible stuff that sin brings, look around our world. He provides a way of escape. And that's good news. That's good news. That's a promise. That's what you need to know in those I don't even know moments. What about when stuff's going on? Is Satan attacking? Is this some of the trials of life, or is it a mixture of both? What's going on? I don't even know what's going on, but I'm just overwhelmed by what's happening. This is a promise for you. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. Do you see that word? Cannot harm them. If we're taking God's plan of escape that He's provided, that's the previous verse. One born of we as God's people, we don't continue in sin. And the one who's born of God, Jesus, keeps us safe. That's a promise for us. That's a promise for us. That scripture verse, when we are dealing with trials or whatever's going on in your life where you're like, I don't even know what to do with this. I'm overwhelmed. And we stop and we go back to what we do know. And remember that Romans 8:28 says, 8:36. That's right. It's this other one. Listen to this. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or nakedness or famine or persecution or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, in any of these trials, whether it's the ones they're describing or what's going on in your life right now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors in Christ who loves us. For I am convinced that, this covers it all, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. That about covers it, doesn't it? Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I don't even know what to do with this. I'm just overwhelmed. But nothing's going to separate me, God, from your love. Nothing. That's the promise that we have. And that's the difference between, in those moments, knowing as opposed to knowing. How many people have heard people say, now I know that I know that I know that, and they'll speak some truth. I just know that I know that I know that God is with me in this. What's with the repetitive know that I know that I know? What are they talking about? Yeah, it's not this, it's this, right? Exactly. It is a, I know from experience. I know because I know my God. He's walked with me through this kind of stuff before, and he's going to walk with me through it again. I know him. I know him personally. That's the kind of knowledge that is going to take us through those I don't even know moments. It's that kind of, I know. How am I going to get through this? It's another I don't know moment. Sometimes it just seems so huge of a problem. We just don't even know how we're going to get through a day or even a minute sometimes because it's so overwhelming. How many people have been in those situations where it's just like, there's too much, I don't even know where to go or what to do. How many people have been there? Yeah, a lot of us have been there. It's the fear overwhelms you, the worry, the lack of answers, and that's when this, what do I need to know in this moment? Know in this moment. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient. My grace will be sufficient for you. And my power will be perfected right in the middle of your weakness. Couldn't we just have the power that takes us out of our weakness so that he says, in your weak place, I'll make you powerful. And now you won't be weak anymore. It's not what he says, is it? He says, my power, his power, will be made complete, made perfect, right in the midst of your weakness. You hear that? This Romans 1 before that said, now in all these things we are more than conquerors. Not after God's taken us out. He says, in all these things. But there are times, oftentimes, God answers prayers and he fixes the problem. And then there are many times when God says, I'm going to walk with you, I'm going to go right through this together, and you're going to find me faithful right in the midst of it. My grace is sufficient, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And sometimes when we're just ready to explode, we have to stop and remember and know what we know. God, your grace is sufficient. You're going to be enough. I don't have any idea how. I don't know what is going to happen. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. But you're going to be sufficient. And we rest in his power and his grace. That verse in Philippians 4:19 says, and my God, let's read that together. This is a promise for all of us, that right at the bottom. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Get that address. You may need to look it up later. He's going to meet all of our needs. Not necessarily all of our wants, but all of our needs in Christ Jesus. How am I going to get through this? What's the next one? Bring up the next one. Sometimes we run into this where we're like, God, where are you in all of this? How many times have you felt like God is just, I don't know where he is, but I sure don't seem to see him in the midst of this? You been there? Yeah. That's kind of a scary place because it really rattles our faith sometimes. And we're like, God, I've been praying and I'm not seeing what you're doing here because things are still crazy. They're still, I don't even know. And there are times when, as we are going through in the midst of it, it's just not a, God's taking care of this. I know it. I'm walking by faith every day, and I've got a smile on my face, and God's taking care of this. That's just not the way it is. As we are walking through the difficulties, there are times when we're like, okay, God, you're taking care of this. And then maybe 3 days later, you're like, God, where are you? Then now this happened, and now what? And it overwhelms us. And those are the times we have to stand on these promises. Those are the things I need to know this in the midst of, I don't even know. And that is, let's read this one together. This is good for us to be speaking these words of faith. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Put that one down in your faith journals for a verse to memorize. He's working. He's working in the midst of it. Even if our eyes don't see, he is at work. How many people can remember a time that was heart-wrenching and difficult and hard, and you see what things looked like after you got through it, and you begin to look back and think, I wish there was another way, but I see what you were doing, at least with what I can see with my human eyes. Have you seen that before, where you can look back and say, all right, God, you were there. I didn't like going through it, but I see that you were there. And that's happening all the time, whether we see it or not. He's working out all things to the good of those who love him, those who have been called to his purposes. Those are the things that we have to know as we're going, because the I don't even know moments are going to come. And we have to be prepared with that knowing of God that we talked about at first. So many of us in the American church, we rush through lives, and our knowledge of God is all up here. We know a lot about him, or just enough, so that we can sound like we know about him at church. But have we entered into that place of knowing him personally, interacting with him, in faith trusting in Jesus alone for your salvation, in faith trusting in the Holy Spirit for wisdom, for guidance, for direction, in faith learning what his voice sounds like because of your ongoing, real knowing of him, relationship with him. This is where we're going to be going. This is where, I should say first, this is where God's been taking me, and I'm in the process of growing in my personal knowledge of God. It's amazing you can be a Christian for 30 years and a pastor for 15 and find yourself way, way more up here in your knowledge of him than down here. I'm in a place where I'm trying to transfer a lot more of myself into this knowing of God. The relational, the personal knowledge, the maturing relationship. And when we're doing this, families and marriages are strong. When we are in that knowing God rather than just a knowledge of God, our marriages get stronger, our families, our children get stronger, because they begin to see us living out a real relationship with him. There's nothing that'll drive a child further and faster from God than seeing parents who live their faith up here. And it's all just going through the routines and the motions. Oh yeah, we go to church because you're supposed to go to church. Oh yeah, we supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that, but there's nothing of this. And the kids see that and they'll go, because oftentimes when we're living up here, there's always going to be duplicity and there's always going to be hypocrisy because we're not really passionate about our relationship with God. And so we say, oh yeah, I love God with all my heart, and then we kind of don't really pay much attention to him until next Sunday. And there's nothing that turns a kid away from God faster than seeing parents who say one thing and do another, right? Families and marriages are strong. People serve and give. You know what? Churches that are full of healthy, mature love for God, they got more volunteers than they know what to do with. People give. They don't have to try to, hey, everybody, we're running short on our budgets. People give. It's part of the natural outgrowth. You've been hearing me talk about sharing our faith for the last 6 years, right? We share what's important to us. When something is passionate, we're passionate about someone, we want to talk about them. It's just a natural thing. When we have that personal knowledge, that maturing relationship, we talk about Jesus. It just happens. And when the church grows, the nation is blessed. We're troubled about our nation. Well, we need to fix the church. And we need to, how do we fix the church? By fixing ourselves. When we become that knowing of God through personal relationship, our nation will be blessed. So I talked about this a bit at the beginning. When those, I don't know, moments hit, you can't start then, right? You've got to already have that knowing in place, or else you don't have what you need to know known there, right? You've got to do it beforehand in order to have it ready when you need it. Are you ready to decide today to truly know him personally, know him, not just about him, and his promises to help you through the times when you just got to laugh stuff off because you know him, or you got to determine to stand firm because you know him, or you got to stand up and fight for what's right because you know him and what would matter to him. I'll be starting a group this fall that's going to focus on how to know him. Not just information, but how can we know him? How can we have a prayer life that learns to listen, not just talk to God, but really learn to listen to God and deepen our and mature our relationship with him? I'm excited about it. It's part of my journey, and it's where I'm going, and it's where I believe the church needs to go. Deeper maturity, deeper relationship with God, not just doing stuff. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come prepare a song for our closing. I Will Never Be the Same Again. Great choice. All the songs were God led in those. I want to ask you, if you're in the place where you're ready to, maybe you started off wanting to walk closely in your heart with God, and you've drifted from that, and it's just become kind of a head knowledge thing. Maybe you've never been in this place where you're like, it's a personal relationship that you're deepening every day. If you're ready today to come and say, it's time to go deeper. God, I want to learn to know you more. I want to have that kind of a knowing, not just a knowing, but a knowing you. Then I want you to fill out a connection card and just drop it up here on the step, because I would like to follow up with you and help you to take some next steps in that. I don't want this just to be another message that comes and goes. If you really want to take your relationship with God to a place of real knowing him, of him, then just put your name on it, phone number, email, whatever, and we'll get in touch, and I'll help you to take some next steps to really learn to not just have a knowledge, but that knowing of Him in your life. And as we worship, just come and drop them up on the step there, and I'll pick them up afterwards and be in contact with you. Let me take a minute to pray. Go ahead and start the music. Father, thank you so much. Thank you that you didn't just come so that we might know about you in some distant, far off God, but you came to know us and that we might know you. You made yourself known through your word. You made yourself known by coming personally in the person of Jesus Christ. And you left, didn't leave us orphans. You sent your spirit that we might know you and you might live in us. So God, we want to grow deeper, closer to you, Lord, today. Would you do that work in us as we worship and you stir our hearts, draw us to yourself, Lord. And if there are any here today that can sense that they've had that distance, that just a head knowledge, but want to grow deeper, you'll give them the hope that they can have so much more as they draw nearer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.